You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company once again for a new golfing week, and we've got two events to look at here on the William Hill Golf Podcast. We've got the Trophy Hassan and the Zurich Classic of New Orleans as well. It's Dave Kellner with you, alongside Dave Tindall, who joins me in the studio on this balmy Tuesday morning. Good morning to you, Dave.
Is it balmy?
I'd say so.
It was balmy yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it was balmier yesterday.
I know you've got a T-shirt on.
Yeah, this is what I want to work in as well, so right. Maybe that's because I'm from up north.
Yeah, in Nails.
And I can handle this kind of moderate temperate climate that we've got at the moment. How are you? Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you, yes. A bit kind of befuddled and confused by last week's golf results, because how did CT Pan win? Well, we discussed it briefly just off air.
Yep.
You could have made some sort of theory for him, but I think you could have made 35 other theories ahead of that, maybe.
He had good form that correlated at a number of different tracks that go well with Harbour Town, but he was in no sort of form coming into the event. But it was an impressive Sunday performance, and it was a bit of a surprise, undoubtedly. And Dustin Johnson collapsing on Sunday maybe shocked some, but it's not the first time he's done it.
No, and we sort of discussed the merits beforehand. The sort of theory is you don't back players at this event, Hilton Head, that have contended in the Masters. And I think it really played out well with Molinari, because he was the ultimate example of someone to avoid, wasn't he, having what he went through. Dustin Johnson did ultimately collapse, so that kind of supports it. But did he ever look as though he would win the Masters, really?
No.
Sort of.
He made a late charge, didn't he? He made four birdies.
So he was never under the gun like Molinari, but DeChambeau was up there. He missed the cut at Hilton Head. There's a few. I think you said Cantlay played well in both. And Kuchar did. But Kuchar's probably the one example. I think, is it something like Kuchar's the only winner in the last 15 years at Hilton Head who's had a top five in the top 10 in the Masters even. So he's quite good at making that leap. Because I think one of the things as well, not just the mental thing, Jordan Spieth used a term, he got augusted in the first round, in that he went to the fast greens of Augusta National to the slower greens at Harbour Town and couldn't adjust. And I looked at some of the stats there, and some of the worst performers in round one, at least, at Hilton Head had played the Masters and played quite well, so they found the adjustment quite hard. So I think it's a physical thing as well as a mental thing, maybe.
I think with Jordan Spieth, though, he's having to flick to the back pages of his excuses book at the moment, isn't he?
Well, yeah.
Trying to come up with something each and every week, because things are not going well for Jordan Spieth at the moment. His performance off the tee in particular has just completely capitulated.
Yeah, when's his last top 10? Is it a year? Oh. Is it last year's Open or something? Yep. Bizarre, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Guy who nearly won the Grand Slam in 1 year.
And I always love stats, because they give tournaments a tangible context, and Justin Ray is the man for stats, isn't he? And he's working for 15th club now. Yeah. And it was the third time, according to Justin Ray, that Dustin Johnson had shot 77 or worse in the final round of a PGA Tour event in which he held the 54-hole lead or co-lead. It happened in the 2010 US Open, Pebble Beach.
Remember that one, yeah.
I remember that one as well. And the 2017 WGC HSBC Champions event, that was over in China.
It got really windy, wasn't it, on the last day there, I think?
And over the last 15 years, he's the only player to do that more than once, and he's done it three times now, Dustin Johnson.
What a stat.
He can go. He can just go walkabout, can't he, sometimes mentally?
I think with him, if he gets on the wrong path, and he's probably not going to win anymore, I think he just turns. I think Mickelson, they used to say that Mickelson, once his winning chance had gone,
yeah,
you know, they're not someone like Tiger would grind out anything, wouldn't he, to the last. He'd rather come 39th than 40th, but DJ couldn't give a, you know, whatever.
Absolutely, I agree with you. Should we talk about this week?
Yes.
Because we've got
look
to.
Ahead. Let's look ahead.
Let's look ahead. The Trophy Hassan is the European Tour event this week, and the latest betting with William Hill. Joost Luiten heads the market at 14-1. Jordan Smith is 20s. Alexander Levy, Andy Sullivan, Eric Van Rooyen, Fabrizio Zanotti, Jorge Campillo, Julian Suri, Nacho Elvira,
yes,
and Victor de Buisson, all 25-1. And it's 33-1 and bigger than the rest. Tells you something it does about this tournament.
Yeah. We haven't got a clue who's going
to
win.
The European Tour returning from its hiatus with a trip to Morocco for the Trophy Hassan. This is an event that has been held at the Robert Trent Jones Senior designed Royal Golf Dar es Salaam for the last 3 years. Two of those tournaments have been measured in terms of driving accuracy, distance, greens in regulation, etc. With Alexander Levy winning last year and Eduardo Molinari taking home the title in 2017. And it's tough, this golf course. When Zhongyun Wang won in 2016, the winning score was 5 under par, and neither Levy nor Molinari cracked double figures for the week in their winning years either. It's a par 72, measuring just under 7,600 yards, so it's a long test and it's tricky, with tree-lined fairways and doglegs that work both ways as well. And the real test is up by the greens, those upturned saucers, as it were, meaning that the surface is tough to hold, with the greens sloping off in different directions and not many shots funnel towards the pin. So it's a very difficult tournament for these players to make their comeback, because some of them haven't played for 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, with the European Tour had the week off either side of the Masters, and then if you didn't play the Masters, and then you're probably back to the Indian Open, aren't you, which was end of March, so... It's a good 3 weeks off, isn't it, basically?
And the Hero Indian Open is...
And if you didn't go to the Hero Indian Open, and many didn't, and probably those who did left thinking, do I really want to be a golfer anymore?
It's the Augusta of Asia, isn't it? The Hero Indian Open with those greens. The fairways have been widened a little following the 2017 renewal, which appeared to play into the hands of the longer hitters last year, with Kyrgios finishing second behind Levy. Both... have plenty of power from the tee. There's only 1 year of evidence to formulate that particular theory, which it may be prudent not to read too much into that, I suppose.
Possibly, yeah. 1 year, it may just be that the long hitters did other things well. So, a tricky one. I've got two picks.
Yeah, I've just got one pick, because it is tough, because you've got to weigh up current form with course form, and it's a judgment call whether a player's going to be fully primed for competitive action on their return as well.
And the fact that we've got all those third favourites at 25, it just shows the compilers have had a look at it and thought, no one's leaping out here, and I can't really sort of give anyone a better chance than anyone else. For a large part, Luiten the favourite, that's fair enough, but I don't really want to play anyone at a short price, I don't think, given what you've said.
Yeah, I've got one pick, so I'll let you lead off.
Yeah, I'm starting at 50-1.
Okay.
Mikko Korhonen.
All right, okay, the Finn.
The Finn, yes. One other thing you mentioned in the start was it's a Robert Trent Jones course, and the other famous Robert Trent Jones course we think of maybe is Valderrama, with its tree-lined narrow fairways. You said they're widening them a little bit, but it's still tree-lined. You've still got to, you know, avoid the trees if you can, and Korhonen does hit it very straight. He can give it a thump as well. I noticed his greens in reg numbers are really good of late. First in Qatar, 10th in India. So that's pretty good from him. Mm-hmm. Because obviously scrambling is difficult. So the less scrambles you give yourself, I think that's going to help. Korhonen talked about Valderrama. He was third at Valderrama at the back end of last year. So maybe these tree-line courses suit his eye a little bit. His actual form at Dar es Salaam doesn't look that great. 22nd, miscut 41st, but I did have a look at his round by round positions, and in 2016 he was 6th going into the final round, so he went into that last day with a chance to win, so I think you can use that and say, you know, he can perform well on this course.
Yep.
10th in the Indian Open, 18th in Qatar. I just thought all the little bits added together made for a decent 50-1 shot, really, when I think you could have possibly put him in a bit shorter than that.
Okay, Mikko Korhonen is Dave's first selection. I'm going slightly shorter in the market. Alexander Bjork is my
I looked at it. It was maybe my third if I had a third one.
40-1, and you just think of a Parkland test winding between the trees, screaming Bjork, really, because with Levy and Molinari having ranked first and second, respectively, for scrambling on the weeks of their wins, short game looks like it could be key, and Bjork is one of the best short game exponents in the field, ranking 10th in strokes gained around the green this season and top 25 in that stat on the European Tour last season. He's had something of an up and down season, Alexander Bjork. Only played 6 events.
Yeah, that's which strange, isn't it? Is he sort of saving himself for a big summer?
Hopefully. So he'll either come into this fresh or undercooked,
yes,
whichever way you want to look at it. He finished third here last year, though, where he putted well and found plenty of greens in regulation. And I like the fact that one of his wins, or his win, came the week after that performance in China. So if you believe in biometrics, this is Bjork's time of year. And one of his best performances last year came on a tree line golf course in the British Masters, where he finished second. And I think he could go well at a decent price, 40-1, Alexander Bjork this week. So he's my sole selection for the event.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to just take a flyer on someone who is, I believe, he's 150s.
Okay.
Can I find him? Alvaro Quiroz, I think you mentioned him.
Yes.
At the start.
He is 150-1.
Yeah. Mentioned Valderrama. And you think, well, that's surely a course he would be terrible at because he sprays it off the tee, but it's his home course, so when he obviously plays there a lot, so visually he sees a lot of tree line courses, so he's got to come up with a way of dealing with that, whether he clubs down, whether he just holds back a little bit. So I think it's just a visual that he's used to, and obviously as you said, he played really well here last year when runner-up made the cut as well, the only other time he played it. So whether that runner-up was a one-off, but I just think there's a bit of logic to the fact that he did well here, given the Valderrama link. He's in terrible form, Dave. I can't deny that. But I did look...
CT Pan was in bad form last week.
Yes, and I looked at Quiroz before his second place here last year. He was terrible form then. So he's often in terrible form, isn't he? It's him, he's... hit or bust, because if you look at those five I did say hit or bust there, by the way, five miscuts before that miscut, he was third in Dubai, and Dubai is a course, you know, the Emirates, he's played really well on before, so yeah. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt via he's a horses for courses type. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt by the fact that he can just miss a string of cuts and suddenly get hot.
Yeah,
so it's one of those ones. It's a tricky week. I wouldn't be taking him at any sort of 66 sort of price, but 150s, you can throw a half a point each way dart, I think.
Yeah, you very rarely get players in good form at 150-1, do you? So it's definitely factored into the price. Alvaro Quiroz, 150-1, Dave's second selection. There were a few towards the top of the betting that certainly caught my eye more than others. Natuel Vera has to be of interest. He's 25-1, tied second in Qatar, second in the Maybank Championship, 6th in the Hero Indian Open in his last 3 starts, and he was beaten by Wang in a playoff for this title 3 years ago and 22nd last year. Looks a very obvious contender. Eric Van Rooyen, another one, 25-1, who keeps threatening. South Africans obviously at home on the Kikuyu grass this week, and Van Rooyen finished 7th here on his debut last year, again in fantastic form, 2nd in Qatar, miscut in Kenya, 15th in the Maybank, and 6th in the Hero Indian Open. And the other one, who I nearly included, Julian Suri, at 25-1, big hitter who's come back from hernia surgery with a bang. Unfortunate in the Indian Open, where a late quadruple bogey on the 14th on that quirky layout derailed his chance, but he played well in the Maybank and 4th in India, another positive display. I thought he had a big chance. So those three at 25-1 stood out, but from a betting perspective, low key for me.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at just big hitters who won recently, you could look at Kurt Kitayama, who's 40-1.
Yeah.
Sort of quickly falls back down the betting, doesn't he? We say, that was a fluke. Oh, that was another fluke. Can't keep having them, can he? Tom Lewis would have been a lot shorter in the betting a few months ago, wouldn't he?
Oh, very much so. I mean,
he would
have
been amongst the 25s, if not maybe 20s.
Players that have played well in elite company.
Yeah. So he could be a bit of value. Jason Scrivener did a lot of good stuff at the start of the season. He's out at 50s. I think Thomas Detry will win at some point. And Adrián Aut as well, I think the young Spaniard, he's well spoken of.
He looks very good, doesn't
he? Yeah, so he's 40-1. Again, it could be a week where he just slips in, but a tricky week, I think.
It is. Three selections for you to ponder in the trophy, Hassan. Let's move on to the Zurich Classic 2019. They've dropped the New Orleans bit, haven't they? Which I've just realised. It was always known as the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, wasn't it? But they look to have dropped that. Something a little bit different on the PGA Tour this week anyway, as we have a pairs event in Louisiana to enjoy or endure, whatever your viewpoint. What are your thoughts on the change of format? Does it work for an event of this nature? Do you like having a week off from standard stroke play?
No. I basically, being brutally honest, if I back someone and they're not in contention, my interest fades pretty rapidly in this, I have to say.
Jason Day and Adam Scott, the Australian pairing are 13-2. Garcia and Fleetwood 8-1. Reed and Cantlay are 12-1. Watson and Holmes 16-1. Rahm and Palmer 16-1. Horschel and Piercy are 18s. The Koepka brothers, Brooks and Chase, 22-1. Henrik Stenson and Graham McDowell, 22s. Finau and Stanley are 22s. 25-1 for the South Africans, Oosthuizen and Schwartzel, and it's 33s and bigger the rest. 80 teams are playing this week in this doubles event. They play four ball, which is best ball during rounds 1 and 3, so that's where scoring is very low. While rounds 2 and 4, it's foursome, so alternate shot. The top 35 teams and the ties after the first 36 holes make the cut, and this format has been in operation for the past 2 years. Obviously, with the four balls, as mentioned, we get very low scoring, and Horschel and Piercy won last year, recording 22 under for the week, and Blixton Smith went even lower in 2017, outlasting Scott Brown and Kevin Kisner in a playoff, posting 27 under par for the four rounds. The one constant we've got here is the course. TPC Louisiana is a Pete Dye design, which measures around about 7,400 yards. And in the days when it was a standard event, strokes gained off the tee was pretty important. But the water is murkier, given that Blixton Smith won here 2 years ago. And you can't call Jonas Blixter a decent performer from tee, even all the way to the green, really. But especially off the tee. It's another event this week. I think you've got to bet cautiously, Dave.
Yeah, it's tricky finding sort of strands of logic, because players just pop up and you think, well, what was leading me towards them? And then you might find out some of them literally known each other since junior days, and they're perfect partners, and that, you know, the sum of the parts and all that is worth more than they individually bring to the table. I've got one pick.
Yeah, I've got one pick as well. I would have had two, but we slashed one of the prices.
So Who was that?
It was Stallings and
I saw that. Yeah,
Mullinax that I liked. There were 66 and
40s.
They were
hacked
into 40s.
I've got sort of like
bludgeoned
half another one, but if we've got the same one, I'll move to the other one.
All right. Okay.
You go first then.
I'm going 66-1.
Oh, right, no then.
No. I'm going with Brian Stewart and Russell Knox as my
right. My well, I didn't
selection.
See that coming.
There's a little bit of logic there. Didn't have a really good week at Harbour Town, Russell Knox, admittedly. He drove the ball okay, but approach play and putting were off, so I'm hoping he can bounce back with a change in format and on a course that plays to his strengths. Finished seventh in a team with Martin Laird last year, and his only win on American soil came in the Travelers Championship at TPC River Highlands, which is a Pete Dye design, but that's played on bent grass, whereas this one's on Bermuda. A lot of the players have referenced being comfortable on Bermuda. Those that play well in Florida have success here as well. But Brian Stewart's in very good form. He won his only tour title in this event in 2016 on this golf course, beating Benny Arn and Jamie Lovemark in a playoff. And he comes into this in very good form at the moment. Finished 18th in the Valspar, missed the cut in the Dominican Republic, then went tied 4th in Texas, followed by a very respectable tie for 16th at Harbour Town last week. And I think this pair can make their presence felt. I don't think they'll make many mistakes in foursomes. So if they can get hot with the putter or the putters in the four balls, I think they can have a good run this week.
Yeah, jolly good. You've mentioned the Florida kind of thing, so I'm going to go for two Europeans who reside in Florida and used to play in the... What was the thing where they used to play Lake Nona versus...
I can't remember what the event was called.
Yeah, but it was kind of... But anyway, Henrik Stenson...
It was Tiger's event, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. That sort of chain. Yeah. Henrik Stenson and Graham McDowell.
I can see this. 22-1.
Yeah, I can see them getting a bit of the old kind of Ryder Cup vibe going and thinking, two Europeans, let's go. Stenson has had a bit of a strange year, to be honest, but we've seen better things of late, especially in Florida, which probably makes sense, given that he's made a home there. He was 17th at Bay Hill, 24th at the Valspar. They were decent knocks. Did quite well in the match play, which sort of bodes well, different format, got to the last 16. And the Masters, I mean, he's generally fairly terrible at the Masters. 36, not disgrace. He shot a third round 67, which is a decent effort for him around Augusta. He was 19th in this last year, so he can play it. McDowell has obviously played a lot of good golf this year and has won.
Yeah.
One of those opposite events.
He was going well last week, actually.
And yes, he was going well last week, so he's kept it going. And I had a quick look at the QBE shootout. Maybe that was the Tiger. I'm sure it wasn't. It was a team event.
Yeah, it was a team event.
I can't remember what it was called. But yeah, the QBA shootout, which is a pairs event, and McDowell finished runner-up in that in December, just gone alongside Emiliano Grillo. So McDowell can get going in these events, can't he? He can shoot low scores, get the putter going. I just thought that would be
Tavistock Cup.
That's the one, yes.
There you go. I've just looked it up.
Yeah.
It was played... it was played from 2004.
So it was Lake Nona versus someone. Who was the other team in it?
Yeah, it was Isleworth.
That's it.
Yeah.
So I think McDowell was Isleworth. Did they ever play
there
together?
There were four teams in the Tavistock Cup.
Oh, right.
Team Albany, yes. Isleworth, Lake Nona, and Queenwood.
Yes.
And it was played in 2011, 2012, and 2013. Those were the main events.
Wait, so it's 6 years gone, has it?
Yeah, and then in 2013, they extended it. Team Oak Tree National, Team Primland as well, joined
really?
Albany, Alworth, Lake Nona, and Queenwood. And I've got no
recollection of
that event in 2013 at all.
Maybe the TV didn't bother with it.
Perhaps not. And Tiger Woods always played on Team Albany.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
But unless I've gone mad, I'm pretty sure McDowell played in that.
He did. Yes. He was on Team Lake Nona.
Yes, right, okay.
At all 3 years.
Good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so he's played that. He's played the QBA shooter, as I say, runner-up alongside Grillo in December. And I think
he played with Stenson, by the way.
In
2013.
Well, that's good, isn't it? Unless you tell me they were last. But it was hard to know, wasn't it? Was it? The format was a bit... What was the format?
I've no idea. I've got absolutely...
Is it like pairs?
No clue.
Did you say he played with Stenson?
He played in...
On the same team?
No, he played in a group of four. They were in the same team. I'm not sure whether they played together or not.
They were just talking all the time because they're such great mates. So, yeah, it's a bit of the chemistry. It's a bit of Florida. It's a bit of current form suiting them. When I saw the sort of list of pairings before I saw the odds, I just thought they'd be a fraction shorter than 22s.
Yeah, I think that's decent enough value. We'll speak about some of the other teams. Scott and Day didn't really appeal at 13-2. Neither did Fleetwood or Garcia for me at 8-1.
Yeah.
Just looked too short.
Exactly.
Rahm and Palmer obviously appealed because John Rahm's take Brooks Koepka out, maybe the best player in the field.
Yeah.
And this team have got the strength off the tee, haven't they?
By the way, did your dad back John Rahm because of what you told him?
Yes.
Yeah, right. I heard him on the radio and saying he'd back Rahm for a top 10 to finish, and he made like one pee.
Yeah, I think he'd bat to each way 10 places.
I thought, oh, you've passed that on to him because he's not the biggest golf expert, is he?
He wouldn't profess to be a huge golf expert or fan.
Right.
But he's got
so
to.
So you have power over him, do you?
He's just got to watch something for that sport or TV thing, because otherwise he'll be talking about business L Block H or something like that. So he's just got to watch some sport.
Right.
And as long as he watches one sport a week, then he can just fill the rest of the time with whatever other nonsense he's seen or watched.
Well, there's enough quirkiness about the Masters to sort of go down little angles, isn't there? Why do we know why Rahm and Palmer?
I've got no idea, because Palmer's played with Spieth the last 2 years, hasn't he?
Yeah, because Palmer's obviously think he's Texas. Rahm went to Arizona.
Yeah, I've no idea, to be honest, but if you're thinking about strength off the tee, those two are very strong off the tee, Rahm and Palmer. And basically, Rahm missed the cut last year, but he was playing alongside Wes Bryan.
Right.
And if you look through their foursomes on Friday, he offered minimal assistance, shall we say. Basically, it was a disaster. And because it's got shot, there's shot by shot on this event as well, so you can track who's played which shot
Who's ruining it.
And Wes Bryan.
Was he? Yeah.
Oh, he played like an 18 handicapper in that round, which isn't a massive surprise. But
so maybe Ryan Palmer was just sort of walking past whilst Wes Bryan was sitting there everywhere and said, I'll partner you. Yes, I'll take it now.
I'll play with you next.
Can I sign that for something?
It's difficult to. At this moment in time, recording this on Tuesday, it's difficult to get any insight into why some of these partnerships have come about, isn't it?
You'll find it out, won't you, as the week goes on. Like, oh, we're actually best mates. Yeah. And that was his best man in his wedding. Yeah,
that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It happens every year. The only thing that tempers my enthusiasm with Rahm and Palmer is they play different golf balls.
Yeah,
which
that's
I think
a fair
in the foursomes, it's definitely a factor. We've heard that in the Ryder Cups down the year, haven't we? And Palmer plays a Titleist Pro V1, and Rahm is with TaylorMade.
Have you done extensive golf ball research then on all the teams?
No, I've only done a few of the leading teams.
Right.
In fact, I went with the teams that I fancied, and then looked a little bit more deeply into those. But that information isn't freely available at the click of a button.
Do you have Stenson McDowell analysis?
I don't have Stenson McDowell analysis, unfortunately.
I presume they do.
Yeah. But it's a factor in foursomes, isn't it?
It has
to be said. So that just tempered my enthusiasm on Rahm and Palmer.
You would have thought maybe when they're pairing up, they might have taken that as a factor to get involved with somebody.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if any of them take this event.
Well, that's
that
the other
seriously.
Thing. But
for some, it's a chance at a 2-year exemption, isn't it? When they might not have it otherwise.
No.
So that's what? Because your higher ranked partner gets to, or the higher ranked player gets to pick his partner, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's how it works. So some of these teams, like for instance, the Koepka brothers, Chase Koepka's never going to get a PGA Tour card, is he?
Yeah.
But this is an actual opportunity for him.
Another 22-1s, as you Koepka and Koepka 22s, but I think they're the worst of the 22-1 shots. But there's another one, Finau and Stanley, I thought looked quite tempting, because Finau obviously had a big Masters, and Stanley hasn't been in much form of late, it seemed, but then I think he just sort of started to come to the boil in recent events to suggest he could. You know, he could play his part in that. He was 21st at the Masters, which was a good effort for Kyle Stanley. I think he shot 70-69 on the weekend. He was also third at this course in 2013. So hits it big. It's just whether he holds enough putts in the format, maybe. But sometimes, don't you get players who can't seem to get over the line in stroke play, like Finau, and might just change it up a bit and might just help him?
Yeah.
Quite like those two at 22s.
There's a few teams that stood out to me, away from the ones we've mentioned. Abraham Anser and Johnny Vegas. If you're looking for strokes gained off the tee, these two rank very highly. They're 33-1. If you're looking for chemistry, Ian Poulter and Sam Horsfield, very good friends, and Poulter's mentored,
master and pupil.
Yeah, mentored Horsfield, and I think they'll be really revved up. And if you want a team that are going to be fully focused this week on success, Poulter and Horsfield are a decent partnership, definitely to have a look at there. And if you want to take a flyer, I saw the team of, I'm just trying to locate them in the betting, Sam Burns playing alongside Cameron Champ. Sam Burns is a Bermuda specialist who played well last week, and Cameron Champ is the future of golf, even though it's not quite working out like that at the moment. But there are a couple of players that I think they could really go well at a big price at 66-1.
One other one I looked at, maybe Grayson Harding.
Yeah.
Two South Africans.
Yeah.
I've seen Grace. Didn't Grace get all 5 points once in the President's Cup, I think?
He did.
And Harding, one of that, I think that was one of the sort of more remarkable stories of the Masters, how he turned up there. And
his rise from
it's incredible.
Nobody to somebody has been swift, hasn't it, really? I mean, I've not got the stats to hand, but he climbed so many places in the world rankings in such a short space of time. Unbelievable, yes. Really.
So, I do prefer them to Oosthuizen and Schwartzel, because sometimes you think, oh, those two will work well, and it never really happens, does it?
I definitely have the prices.
Yeah,
I agree. Shall we wrap up?
Yes.
I don't think any of us have got a player we don't want to win this week, have we, really, in these two events?
If you saw that he won and you'd go, oh, I was so close
I suppose Julian Suri would be my closest at 25-1 in the Moroccan event.
I don't know, maybe Vuur Slauten won.
Yeah.
Because he's
looks solid.
I'm not particularly close to backing him.
Okay, let's recap the selections then. Dave, your picks first.
Yeah, so in Morocco, I'll go a point each way on Mikko Korhonen at 50-1 and just half a point each way on Alvaro Quiroz at 150s.
Yeah, I'm going a point each way, Alexander Bjork at 40-1. And in the pairs event, the Zurich Classic.
Yeah, I'll go for the Swedish Northern Irish combo of Stenson and McDowell at 22-1, a point each way.
And I'm going a point each way on the pairing of Brian Stewart and Russell Knox at 66-1.
Fifth, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in the pairs event.
It is. And it is the same in the event in Morocco as well. 50 odds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Dave Tindall, thank you for your company.
Yeah, cheers, Dave.
Always a pleasure. If you want to follow Dave on Twitter, you can do so at Dave Tindall Golf. You can follow myself at D Kellner. Any feedback from the podcast, always very welcome and will be heeded as well. And if you want to check out all the betting, go to sports.williamhill.com. And you can find us on the app as well. So make sure you have a good golf betting week. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.